You have your Bible, turn to the 51st Psalm tonight, the 51st Psalm. The psalmist says, verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude, thy tender mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done all this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth, the inward parts and the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O God, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." I want to preach a little bit this evening, if God will be my help, and He have to be, on finding our joy. Finding our joy. And now we see here, as David's are talking to us in the 51st Psalm, he's talking about the high cost of sin. A lot of times we don't realize that sin cost us. Amen. There's a price of sin. And somebody has to pay the price, and guess who pays the price? The old sinner. Amen. The sinner's the one that pays the price. As the psalm we see here in this psalm, the 51st psalm, everybody knows it's a psalm that David wrote when he was seeking the heart of God after he had sinned, the sin of going into Bathsheba. She conceived, and you know the story. And then he tried to cover it up and made it worse. And so he comes before God, and he begins to cry out and beg God, pray to God, asking God to hear him and forgive him of his sin. You know, that's all it takes tonight for an old sinner to be forgiven. Given is just coming before thrice holy God and asking Him to forgive us our sin. I'm talking about a broken and contrite heart, realizing that we are sin, we have sin, and we need help. And repenting of that sin, that means we turn from it and go another direction, believing that God will help us to not return to that old life, to that sinfulness that got us into the mess to begin with. Amen. I'm glad there's a God of heaven who's promised He'd be there with us and help us in this. And now as you look at this tonight, we look at David's life. I got to thinking about it this week and how that sin that David done, how much it cost him. Amen. A sin hurts the sinner. Amen. I mean, it hurts the whole part of the sinner. It affects him in so many ways. Praise God, as we can see in the life of David. As we see David here, we see it affected David, number one, in his eyes. Look at verse number 3. He said, "For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me." David said it affected his eyes. He could see the sinful. He could see what was caused, what it had caused. He could see the results of his own sinfulness. Amen? So sin affects your eyes. Not only does it affect your eyes, it affects your mind. Verse 6, he said, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." He said, hey, listen, so God's already revealed to me my sinfulness. Ain't you glad, praise God, God made a way? A Holy Ghost conviction comes upon you, shows you your sin so you can repent and get that behind you. Plead the blood of Lord Jesus Christ and clean it up. Amen. So it affects your eyes, it affects your mind. Not only affects your eyes, your mind, but it affects your hearing, your ears. Verse number 8, he said, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Amen. So it affects it. It not only affects your ears and mind, but your eyes and your mind, but it affects your ears. And if we ain't careful, sin will come in and it'll get us to hearing things the way we want to hear it, instead of the way it really is. Amen. I don't know the people that have told me different things. Well, preacher, this is what I believe, because that's what they want to hear. Amen. But I want to tell you, there's what's out there, what you can hear, and there's what thus says the Word of God. I want to say there's a big difference in that. Amen. So it affects you, your eyes, it affects your mind, it affects your ear, and it affects your heart. Look at verse number 10. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Amen. He said, I want you to give me a clean heart. See, it affects your heart. It affects your heart attitude when we have sin in our lives. Amen. Now hang in here with me. We're going somewhere. You get better farther on. Amen. When you get some things out of the way, praise God, hey, it's always better to move along when you don't have so much junk to have to carry. Amen. You don't have to load up so much, praise God. You can go on a little lighter. Amen. I don't know about you. I want to travel light. Amen, brother. I don't want a whole bunch of baggage to hold me down, hold me back. Praise God. When the Lord wants me to move out, move on, praise God, I want to be ready. Amen. I want to be able to shout, praise God, and drop a hat and drop it myself. Amen. Praise God. Get to a place where God can help me. But He'll help you in your heart. Not only in your, it affects your heart, but praise God, it affects your spirit. He said, renew a right spirit within me. Amen. You know when we get caught up in sinfulness, and we do. Bible says we've all sinned to come short of the glory of God. I was talking to a fellow this morning about that. And he was talking about sinfulness. And he said, well, no. He said, well, you know what? It just seems like sin's everywhere. I said, yeah, but you can't find it. He said, what do you mean, preacher? I said, I go out visiting. I can't find nobody that's lost. I can't find no sinners. I mean, living like the devil, living like a bunch of dogs and hogs. And you can't. You say, well, you know, you need to be saved. Say, well, preacher, I believe I'm all right. Amen. Why? Because the spirit's not causing conviction. There's no conviction in our hearts. We holler and scream it. We want morality in the world, in our country, in the world. Praise God! But you can't have morality without conviction. Amen. Amen. And if the heart ain't right before God, if your spirit ain't right with God, praise God, there's not going to be conviction to keep us where we need to be. I don't know about you. I want to be where God have me to be at all times. I want to be ready, praise God, one day when there's a shout and the trump goes out. I want to be ready. I want to be about that high off the ground, praise God, before I realize what it is. Amen. Praise God. There's not going to be no time to repent and confess and pent in. We better get it under the blood, praise God. Amen. So we can go out of here shouting and praising and giving God glory. So it not only affects your heart and your spirit, but it also affects your mouth. Do you know sin affects what you have to say? Amen. It's hard to have a good testimony, praise God, if you got sin in your life. You say, well, preacher, nobody knows about it. Praise God, God does. Amen. It's going to be hard to testify if you got sin in your life. And then verse 13 says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. He said, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. He said, it affects your whole body, it affects your mouth, it affects the way that we praise and worship God. I wonder sometimes the reason we can't come in here and praise and worship God, because we've got sin in our life. Unconfessed things, praise God, that's crept in on us. They creep in. Like I said in the beginning here, me and Brother Ernie was talking this morning. He said that COVID snuck up on him over an amount of weeks and just kept getting gradually worse. That's what the devil does. He brings in sin subtly, a little at a time. Next thing you know, you're caught up in it. Amen. When we realize it, when the Holy Ghost of God shows us where we're at, we need to just ask God to forgive us of that and head in a different direction. Flee it, praise God. Run from it. Get away from it as fast as we can. Amen. Because a sin in your life, praise God, it hurts the sinner, praise God, because it keeps him from having a testimony. Not only does it keep him from having a testimony, but it causes him to lose fellowship with God. I don't know about you, I want fellowship. Amen. I won't be able to meet with him. I want him to be able to meet with me. Verse 11, he said, cast me not away from thy presence. Amen. I don't want God to push me away because sin in my life. Amen. I believe God has to kind of put a stiff arm out there as long as we got sin. Hey, it's between me and him and between us and him. Praise God. He's got a stiff arm. He can't be around it. Amen. It keeps us from being in his presence. If we ever want to worship and praise God, we got to get rid of it. Amen. Put it behind us, praise God, so we can worship God. It hurts a sinner, praise God, to have sin in their life. Amen. Not only does it cause them to lose fellowship with God, but they've lost the joy they have and should have in the Lord. Amen. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Amen. An old sinner, somebody caught in sin, they've lost the joy of their salvation. Not only lost fellowship with God, but they've lost the joy that they should have. Amen. Pray God. We ought to be joyful people. We ought to be rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoice again. Again, I say rejoice, praise God. Lifting up our voice to God every day. You say, well, preacher, sometimes I just don't feel like rejoicing. Well, praise God, just rejoice anyway, the feeling to come. Amen. We're not running on feeling. We're running on what we know, praise God. The Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. Amen. He forgave us our sin. He died for our sin on Calvary, praise God, so we might be forgiven. He took my sin upon Himself, hung it on a cross. He took your sin upon Himself, hung it on a cross. Amen. You think about that. Every individual, praise God, in the world, whosoever will, He took their sin upon Himself and hung it on a cross. If we'd just call upon His name, we might be saved. Amen. So we have to ask ourselves, are the pleasures of sin worth the great price that we pay? I'd say no. No way, no how. Because sin hurts the sinner. But you know what? Not only does sin hurt the sinner, but sin also hurts others. You remember David's life? You remember this story? The tragic consequence that come out of David's sin? You say, preacher, I just don't understand. Let me just show you what James says about it. In James chapter number 1 and verse number 13, the Bible says this, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man." So don't ever say that God tempts you, God caused you to do something that was wrong. It don't come from God. He said, "But every man is tempted." Now watch this, "when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Amen. There's enticement that comes with sin. He said, "Then when sin hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death." That's the end result of sin's death. That's why human beings die now. We were designed in the garden. I've told you 100,000 times, I guess, since I've been here. We were designed in the garden to live forever. We'd go to bed at night. They'd take a rest, Brother Junior. Wake up in the morning, brand new. Brand new. By the way, that's the way it's going to be when we get to heaven. But they ain't going to be no night. We'll just be brand new forever. Amen. Won't that be something? We're going to get a glorified body like unto the Lord's. And we're just going to keep pressing on forever, praise God. Just praising and worshiping God and giving Him glory. And we won't ever get tired of it because we'll never get tired of it. Amen. We won't wear out up there. Praise God. Sometimes these old bodies get weary and frail down here, but glory to God, they won't be up there. We'll get to worship Him like we'd like to. Praise His holy name and see Him in His glory and His splendor. And every time we come around, praise God, we're going to say glory, hallelujah, what a Savior. What a place, what a God. Amen. Our mind can't comprehend what heaven's like. Amen. David was looking to heaven, praise God. He was looking for heaven. That's what he was seeking. That's what he said. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart, yet he got caught up in sin that brought controversy to his life and brought controversy to others. You see in David's life how it affected his family. See, sin don't only affect us. It affects those around us. What David's sin do? David's sin led to Uriah's death. Amen. You remember Uriah the Hittite? It was Bathsheba's husband. He was out in the battlefield fighting for the nation of Israel and King David. David was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Amen. He was out of the will of God. He was at home, praise God, when he should have been down there supervising the battlefield. Amen. That's what a king's supposed to do, praise God. They're supposed to be a managing the situation. Have people to do it, but they're supposed to be the potentate in charge. But David is in the wrong place, the wrong time, and it cost Uriah his death. He cost him his life. And then we see he tried to cover it up, tried to hide it, had Uriah killed, put in the heat of the battle, had him killed. And then we see that Bathsheba, the son that she had by David, it died. After David begged and prayed to God for 7 days on his face, wouldn't eat, wouldn't drink, wouldn't do nothing, prayed God, and he perceived his spirit that the child was dead. And when he asked him, he said, "Is the child dead?" He said, "Yes, the child's dead." They was afraid to tell him because he'd been tore up while the child was alive. They said, if we tell David the child's dead, ain't no telling what he'll do. The Bible said he rose up and he cleaned himself up and changed his garment clothes and went down to the house of God and worshiped. Come back and said, hey, he asked them to fix him something to eat. And they said, we don't understand it. When the child was still alive, amen, you wept and cried and mourned. And said, now if the child's dead, what are you doing? He said, hey, when the child was yet alive, I had hope that God would be gracious and merciful and leave him. But praise God, he's gone. He said, I can't bring him back, but I can, well, glory. He said, I can prepare to go be with him where he is. But it cost him his son. Sin cost him his son. Not only did it cost him his son, remember David's daughter Tamar? A beautiful daughter Tamar. She was violated by her brother Amnon. And then Absalom got mad over that because he defiled his sister. So Absalom killed Amnon. And then later on down the road, David's general Joab had to kill Absalom. Amen? So you see how sin does. Sin don't just affect us. It affects those around. Now we can get right with God. Now listen to me this evening. We can get right with God. We can put it behind us. We can put it under the blood. Amen. But some of the things that's already taken place can continue to go after we've confessed our sin, after we've got right with God. But things can continue to escalate just like they did in the lives of David. Amen. So what happens is we get people started down the wrong road. Amen. That's why we have to be so careful. That's why Paul preached in the epistles how we need to be a separate people, separate holy unto the Lord, doing the things that bring glory and honor to God, trying not to defile ourselves, being a separate people, separated from the uncleanness of the world. Amen. It's a hard thing to do, but we can do it with the help of God. With the help of the Lord, He's made it possible. Praise His holy name. Just think about a moment of sinful pleasure. Praise God. And is it worth a whole lifetime of sorrow for those around us? No, no way, no how. We have to be thankful. We have to be thoughtful. We have to be considerate of those around us, what they're seeing, what they're hearing. It might change the way that they look at God forever. I don't know about you. I've got a whole lot of loved ones that need the Lord. Amen. They need to be saved. They need to be born again. So I got to pray that God will help us to set a good example, to have a good talk, a good walk, a good life before them, they can see Christ in us. Amen. That they can see an uplifting God, an encouraging God. I have words that edify. Amen. So that they can be encouraged in the Lord. Because sin don't only hurt the sinner, but sin hurts others also. But not only does sin hurt the sinner and sin hurt others, but sin hurts God. Amen. If there's anybody that hurts most, at most it hurts God. Amen. Not only ourselves, not only those others around us, but praise God, sin hurts God. Sin's against God. Look at verse 2. He said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. Amen. Said that sin hurts God. Praise His holy name. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. He says, listen, see, Lord, He said, I know it against you and you only I've sinned. Amen. He said, not against this people. Hey, it's not against Bathsheba, it's not against your... Praise God, He said, the ultimate sin I sinned was against you, Lord. Amen. That's the sin I thanks for, what I sin against God. Amen. Our sin, praise God, it hurts God. It's against God. Not only is our sin against God, but our sin makes us dirty. Amen. Unclean. Kind of like that leper. Amen. Once we sin, we ought to have to go around and Lord, put an ordinance in there. We go around and say, unclean, unclean. Praise God, we get it right. Amen. You know what? If God made us do that, it wouldn't take us long to get it right. Amen. Brother Bill, you get out there and y'all start going around every time somebody comes around, holler, unclean, unclean. I said, Brother Bill's done sin. Amen. Pray God, it wouldn't be long, praise God, you'd be falling on your face, find you a rock to hide behind, pray, say, Lord, please forgive me, a sinner. Amen. You do it from out of embarrassment because of sin that we commit against God. Look at verse 2. He said, wash me thoroughly from thine iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. Amen. Verse number 7, he says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. David said, my sin caused me to feel dirty. He said, my sin caused me to be unclean. My sin caused me to break the heart of God. Amen. What is it? Sin is nothing more than rebellion against God. That's what it is. Against rebellion against God and against His Word. Amen. You realize how much sin hurts God? You ever thought about how much sin hurts God? You say, yeah, preacher, I just don't know. Let me show you. Would you like to see a picture of how much sin hurts God? Why don't you look at the cross of Calvary on Calvary? When the Lord Jesus Christ held a hung between the heavens and the earth, the blood poured out of His body. Those nails in His feet, those nails in His hand, that piercing side, praise God, from that sword, when the water and the blood flowed out freely. When he said, my Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? Amen. He had to turn His back, not on the Savior, praise, but on His sin. Jesus became sin for the whole world. He hung on the cross for your sins and my sins. Amen. You praise His holy name. That's when you see sin. See how much it hurts God, how much sin hurts God when you see Jesus hanging on the cross of Calvary. In our minds, in our physical eye, we've never seen that. But in the Word of God, we're painted that picture. And we can see Jesus hanging on that cross of Calvary. So sin hurts sinners, sin hurts others, but most of all, sin hurts God. I don't want to be an old sinner, do you? I mean, I want to do that that's pleasing to God. Because if we could ever be found ourselves pleasing to God, then we'll be in a place of finding our joy again. Amen. Finding our joy, a place of finding joy in the Lord. Amen. A place, you say, what does it mean to find joy? The psalmist said in verse number 12. Now look at this, and I'm going to be finished in just a minute, but we need to look at this right here in verse number 12. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He said, the salvation is God's. Hello? Salvation is God's, and He extends it to us through Jesus Christ, or through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Now that word restore literally means a blessedness. Amen. We see that in the Beatitudes. Remember in Matthew chapter number 5, the Beatitudes. Jesus is up on the mountain. He gets set and His disciples coming to Him. Verse number 2, He opened His mouth and taught them saying. Now watch it. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall be inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Hello? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now that's only those that want to make peace, but that's what want to have peace in their heart. That they know that they're heading in the right direction with the help of the Lord. Amen. Not only peacemakers in the world, but praise God, have peace in their own hearts. He said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteous sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God of heaven. Now watch this. What does it mean to have blessings, to be blessed of God? It means to be pointed and directed and headed for heaven, praise the Lord. Amen. The blessedness of heaven and its approach that we have. He said, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil things against you for my sake, falsely for my sake. But now watch this. He said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward where? In heaven. Amen. So that blessedness is pointing us. Jesus is pointing us in a heavenward way. Amen. Say that three times fast. Amen. So Jesus is pointing us in a heavenward. And what David is asking the Lord here, he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He said that word blessedness. He said, Lord, just restore to me the blessedness of going to heaven, of being prepared, of being ready, knowing you're there with me, knowing you're leading me the way, knowing that you're taking me onward. Amen. Now I'm not backing up. That word blessed means to be fully satisfied. Amen? When he's talking about it, that word blessed means to be fully satisfied in the Lord. Knowing that he's in charge, he's in control, he's leading, he's guiding, he's taking, he's directing this thing, praise. He's the conductor, praise the Lord, and we're just along for the ride. Amen. Just doing his bidding, praise God, trusting in him. Amen. With a perspective of heaven. Amen. Praise God. Now listen, this blessedness is not a result of circumstances. Amen. Blessedness is not a result, let me say it again, is not a result of circumstances. Now, if you was going to say that, then that word that you would put there would be to be happy. I've told you many, many times, the word happy, praise God, happiness, it depends on luck and favorable conditions. Happiness can change in a moment, a twinkling of eye. You can be rocking along just fine not one minute, and luck can change, if there is such a thing. Circumstances can change to unfavorable circumstances, and all of a sudden, praise God, the happiness is gone. You're not happy no more, you're sad. Amen? There's a whole lot of people that's on an emotional roller coaster because they're trying to be happy in the Lord. Amen. You'd almost think they've got that bipolar disease. Amen. They're happy one minute because the circumstances are running good, and the next thing you know, they're way down here because circumstances have changed. But David said, "Restore unto me the joy of your salvation." He said, "I want the blessedness of knowing, praise God, that I'm going to heaven and you're there to lead me and take me the way, to show me the direction." Now, blessedness comes from being indwelt by Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we know that we're indwelt with Christ through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moves in. He dwells in us. He comes in. He comes into us, and he takes his shoes off. I got high tops on. I'm going to kick them off today. He takes his shoes off, kicks them off, and sets up housekeeping in her heart. Amen. He comes and dwells. Then blessedness begins to overflow us because the blesser is there with us. The blesser is in us. Amen. So next time, hey, listen, I said this to all that. Say, next time circumstances change and you got the mully grubs and you feel bad, just say, glory, hallelujah, Jesus is still in control. Amen. Holy Ghost of God still lives in my soul, praise God, and everything's going to be all right. Praise His holy name. So he said, hey, praise God, it takes place through the Holy Spirit. And David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Now, I want to just look at this word restore for just a minute. I got to looking it up and trying to figure out what he was talking about when he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Now, that word restore literally means to turn back. Amen. So David was going in the wrong direction. And he said, Lord, turn me around and point me in the way you'd have me to go. And help me to walk therein. Amen. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Not only does it mean to turn back, but it means to call back. Amen. He said, hey, listen, not only do you turn me around, God, but while I'm out there, I may get to wandering a little bit. Hey, just give a call to me every now and then. Amen. Hey, give me a call. Let me know you're there. Show me, praise God. Hey, in the dark at night when it don't seem like I can see the way, praise God, just call out to me so I can find you early. Before I get out there, before I get turned around again, God, call to me. Amen. Praise God. He said, not only turn me back and call to me, he said, but bring me back. In other words, he said, Lord, just keep compelling me to come, praise God, till I get to where you're at. He said, I don't want to wander off astray and go astray. He said, I don't want to stay out in the wilderness like the children of Israel, praise God, for 40 years. So I want to come back quick. So Lord, I want you to call me back. Amen. But not only that does it mean to bring back, but it means to retrieve. Amen. He said to retrieve. Amen. Praise that like you have something that's misplaced. That's something that's gone astray. Praise God. You go out, you search for it, you find it, and you bring it back. Amen. He said, Lord. He said, if you have to come get me, praise God, and bring me back. Come get me a conviction, the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Show me the error of my ways, and show me the goodness of yours, and help me come back. Retrieve me, Lord. Amen. But not only to retrieve, but he says that it means to receive. He said, come looking for me, Lord. Come find me. Come search for me. Whatever you got to do, Lord. Amen. I might be in your presence, praise God. But he said, when you come and when you find me, he said, like the prodigal son's father, receive me unto yourself. Amen. Praise God. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Amen. So when I get back to you, Lord, when I've come back to that place, when you've received me unto yourself, he said, send me back, praise God, to where I need to be. Amen. He said, help me go back to where I got off track, praise God, and help me start back from there, praise God, and go on for your glory. I won't be sidetracked again. I think sometimes we miss the mark. We gee when we should have hawed. Amen. And we start down the wrong direction. God gets our attention, praise God. Sometimes we got to go back to where we left Him and start back from there. Amen. That's the only way that we can make it right with God. Amen, praise God. Just send me back, Lord, to where I missed the mark and help me to plead the blood there, praise God, and press on for the glory of God. To go in the right direction. How about finding the joy of the Lord, praise God. And it also means not only to send back, but to reestablish. Amen. David would say this, he said in verse 11, he said, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Amen. He said, Lord, I need you to reestablish, restore me, reestablish, praise God, in a fellowship and a relationship that we had before. Sin will take us away from God. Amen. But we need to be finding our joy. We need to be looking for our joy. We need to be hooking back up with our joy in the Lord. Amen. Being reestablished with Him. I think churches today, if we ain't very careful, they so much out here, so much politics, so much junk. If we ain't careful, we get sidetracked by things. And we forget about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We forget about how we're established in Him. Our relationship with Him. His presence is there. It's real. But we forget about that sometimes because we get preoccupied. And David said, hey, listen, I've been preoccupied. I've been going the wrong direction. I've had a bad attitude. But he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And then he concludes with this. He says, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. He said, not only do I want you to find the joy, but he said, I want you to hold me up. I want you to prop me up. I want you to keep me there with your free spirit. That spirit you have that you give to me freely, that lives in me, dwells in me, and helps me and gives me an encouragement. That's why David said, I look unto the hills which come with my help. My help comes from the Lord. Amen. Why? Because that spirit that was in him, praise God. Because that relationship, because God had reestablished him, his presence and his purpose in King David. Amen. David in this psalm, he's asking God to forgive him of his sin because he's trying to find his joy. Amen. Listen, young, it's what we need today. We need to find our joy in the Lord. Amen. Don't try to be happy. Amen. Because if we have joy in the Lord, happiness will come. Amen. Because our circumstance comes, because God Almighty in His righteousness, He'll help us. So we're not having to tread water by ourselves. Amen. He's our lifeguard that'll come out to where we are. And in a moment of time, praise God, we can be over on the other shore like He was for the disciples. He was out there. They was hard a rowing all night long, and they wasn't even halfway across. And Jesus come a-walking on the waters. Amen. Storm came up. Praise God. But listen, when Jesus climbed up in the boat, praise God, then they was on the other side. Amen. Immediately, they's where they need to be. Praise God. What we need to find our joy in the Lord. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. He said, Lord, I need to find my joy. I need my joy back. Tell you, young, what we need, church, we need our joy back. We need to rejoice in the Lord. We need our joy in the Lord. We need to be rejoicing in the Lord, praising Him, giving Him glory for all that He does all the time. Amen. Hey, listen, it should never get old. The only reason it gets old is because we got things in our life that hinder us. We got things that comes up in our lives, comes up between us and our families, and it causes controversy. And it causes us to move away from God. But I want to say tonight, He never moves away from us. Amen. If you ain't as close to God as you used to be, it ain't God that moved. Amen. Do you hear me? It's not God that moved. It's something that's it's something that's come between us and Him. But we need to be like David. We say, Lord, you know, my sin, my iniquity, it's mine. So I want you to clean me because I feel dirty. I want you to clean me and make me feel, let me know your presence again. Let me know you're there with me. Let me know you're there to help me. Amen. And He said, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Just fill me more with it. Amen. To overflowing. Because I need the joy, and not the joy of this world, but the joy of the Lord to make a difference in my life. Because sin hurts. It hurts sinners. It hurts others. It hurts God. But praise God, joy makes it all better. Amen. Joy, finding our joy makes it all better. We can rejoice with God. We can magnify His name, thanking Him and praising Him for all His goodness to us when we have joy of the Lord. Amen. Praise His name.